Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. We're going to continue our discussion about flesh and how it affects our lives and how we can overcome it and how that relates to our temperament. Your temperament is the way God put your soul together for you, for your time here on this earth. It's not broken. It's not your temperament that needs to be fixed. It's your temperament that needs to be freed and healed, because it's been wounded by being required to do things it was not meant to do. And by wounded, the heart of being wounded is believing a lie about ourselves, about others, and especially about God. And sometimes those lies are the hardest things to give up because we call them our beliefs and our truths. And often when we're challenged to give them up, it can be an explosive event. Don't touch that. Because actually what we've done is we've made decisions, and we've built around a certain set of beliefs. Now, when we're talking about changing our beliefs, I'm not talking about replacing one set of beliefs with another set of beliefs. A fact or a truth is anything I can get you to believe. That doesn't mean it's a fact. That doesn't mean it's a truth. What we're talking about is when God says, this is your truth. And this happens a lot, is maybe you've been talking with somebody about a certain idea or concept or even something practical, like you need to get a new job or this person is not right for you, whatever. And then all of a sudden they get it. And you go, I've been talking to you about this for years. How come you never got it? And somehow it was made real. And that's what we want to expect and hold out for. We have these beliefs about God in ourselves and others, but very often they are not based in experience. And God wants you to experience his truth, not just believe it. This is where we have problems with some of the religious terminology and concepts, like faith and hope and our own purpose. And we want to get at the root. What does that mean between us and God? You can have all the truth. You can believe all the right doctrine. But if God has not made himself real to you, doesn't add up to a hill of beans. So what we're talking about is understanding that our wounds affect our beliefs. And our wounds are within our temperament. And so our temperament affects our beliefs. And part of our purpose for being here on this earth is to have our wounds healed so that our temperament, our soul, can be free to be realigned to our spirit. Your spirit is not wounded. Your spirit is not being realigned. It's already been realigned. Your spirit is now one with God, inside Him, enveloped in Him. And your soul is on the way. But in order to be one in your spirit, to be one spirit, soul, and body, your soul needs to be healed. Those beliefs need to be brought into alignment with experiential truth, truth that you've experienced, and not just feelings, not just a new revelation or even a supernatural experience, but by God making it real to you in whatever way He chooses. This is why, again, it goes back to being able to hear His voice. Recognizing that it's His job to make Himself known to us, but it's our job to pursue Him, to listen, to wait. So we've been talking about what flesh is and what temperament is. We talked about the four kinds of temperament that we're talking about: sanguine, melancholy, choleric, and phlegmatic. And we're looking at the four approaches to flesh that we're looking at how what it looks like, and that's needy, protection, socially acceptable, and socially unacceptable. Those are just categories. None of this is meant to put anybody in a box. It's an approach, nothing more. Well, there's two aspects of flesh that we need to get into our understanding. And we've started talking about flesh in terms of a crutch. When you are wounded, when you break your leg, in order to heal, you are given a crutch. That's so you can continue what you need to do and not just lay in bed and still protect the wound while it's healed. So your crutch bears your weight, gives you mobility so you can continue to function. It serves a good purpose. It's helpful. It's necessary. And it's related to your wound. Now, while you're on that crutch, while you're using that crutch, and it could, you know, whatever, whether your arm is in a sling or you have a bandage around your head or you're in a wheelchair, whatever injury you have that you are now having to make some accommodation for it, you make decisions based on your crutch. While you're on crutches, if somebody calls you up and says, hey, let's go water skiing, you say, I can't. I'm on crutches. And they say, okay, well, you want to come out and just ride on the boat. And so maybe you do that, maybe you don't. But you start making decisions based on your crutches. And other people start seeing you as someone on crutches. Now, say you then have to go have surgery, and there's an extended period of time that you have to be on those crutches, or it doesn't heal right, and you have to continue to have a cast on your leg, and you remain on your crutches. That habit, how you see yourself, how you start restricting yourself, becomes stronger and stronger because it lasts longer and longer. And people start seeing you and stop asking you to go do things with them because you're on crutches. And you can't do what you used to do. And all they start hearing from you is no, or, well, I'll come, but I will only do, I'll only ride around on the boat with you. Now, say you broke your leg and you had that cast put on and they took the cast off and you were 6 weeks, whatever it is, you're on crutches and you say, no, you know, I can't go water skiing with you, but then you go in and you have the cast cut off and your leg is all nicely healed and they say, well, we're going to do a couple weeks of physical therapy and then you should be back to 100%. So then you do your 100% after your 2 weeks and you're back to normal, and then when your friend calls or you call them and you say, hey, you know, when are you going out water skiing? I'm all back. And they go, great, we're going to go this afternoon. Why don't you come on out? And boom, you've experienced a wound, you've gotten over it, you've healed from it, you protected yourself while you healed in that area, but then you got over it and other people aren't going to treat you any different and you're not going to see yourself any different. So it's not the whole notion that we're not going to be wounded that we're fighting against. You are. You are going to be wounded while you're here on this earth. You're going to be rejected. You're going to be hurt. You're going to be misunderstood. You're going to continue to believe lies until God finishes revealing truth and until your soul is completely subsumed into your spirit. But until that happens, you are believing lies. Right now, there are lies that you're believing about yourself, about God, and about others. So you're on crutches now. But God wants to heal you. And he gets to pick and choose what it is that he's working on, which is another thing we'll go into some other time about how we find out what it is he wants to be working on. But if this is something we can learn, how to go to him to get healed so that while we're on the crutches, we understand, look, we were hurt. Maybe there was a death in the family. Maybe somebody said something. Maybe you found out somebody was betraying you. Or maybe you lost your job. Maybe this, and this. Instead of believing that this was about you, instead of taking it personally, you sit down, you spend time, you evaluate it, or you let the emotions ride, or you understand this is a wound that needs to be healed, but you let it ride. And then you come back and go, I'm not going to let this become a lie. Lord, what's your truth here? Is this about me? Was there something I could have done different? Are you trying to tell me something here? So that as we heal, we don't become accommodating to the crutches. The crutches become a temporary part of our life. And we don't use our crutches to modify our life. We understand that the decisions we're making about our crutches aren't permanent. We may go through a time of great depression. You know, say we lose our job and we're having a real hard time getting another one. We look at it, what is my plan? We don't say there's something wrong with me that I can't find a new job, or nobody's finding a job, so I won't be able to. We go, no, what is my plan? I'm hurt, I'm scared, I wasn't ready for this. And you be realistic about it. You don't let your crutch, your fear, your hurt, keep you from making plans for after the wound has been healed. You see the place you're in now as temporary, because it is. Your whole life is temporary. But whatever situation you're in, whatever stress or crisis, it's temporary. And we need to develop that habit of seeing it as temporary. And we don't want to fall into accommodating those crutches. We don't fight against them. I mean, they're there for a purpose. If you've broken your leg and you have a cast on your leg, you need those crutches. So it's not we're going to try to defy them. Well, God's just going to heal me. I don't need this cast. I don't need to go to the doctors. That's nonsense. This is about your physical body. You take care of your physical body. And likewise, if you've been hurt in your temperament, in your soul, you recognize you've been hurt, whether you're feeling grief, rejection, guilt, anger, whatever. You recognize it. And depending on the situation, give yourself some time to recover. Say you have maybe your business went out of business. Your whole industry is changing and you don't have a future anymore. You were counting on something happening a certain way, and you have your whole livelihood based on something, and it's just not going to go that way. You have to start from scratch. Give yourself time to grieve. And ask the Lord, how long should that be? 2 hours, 2 days, 2 weeks, a month? Odds are it's not going to be longer than 2 weeks. But give yourself time to grieve. And then stop and get on your plan. Don't let those crutches start affecting the decisions you make. Your wounds are temporary. They are not you. They are not a part of your life. They have come to pass, not come to stay. So the crutches not only affect how we see ourselves, but also they can begin to affect how other people see us. If you're depressed and all your friends are trying to cheer you up, and you don't want to be cheered up, you're accommodating and controlling others because of your wounds. Just again, there may be a time where you say, look, give me 2 weeks, and then call me, and we'll go do something. But, hey, it may even be in that 2 weeks that an opportunity comes up. You want to be ready. You'd never want to see yourself as a wounded victim, because you're not. Your soul is wounded, but you aren't. It may be that you're a victim. It may not be for any fault of your own, and you are being targeted. But you aren't. Your temperament is. Your vocation might be, but that's not you. And this is not just about get over it. This is about going to the Lord. Lord, what is your truth here? Was there anything through this, anything that I missed? What are you trying to say to me now? And especially when we're under stress, don't be all that concerned that you aren't hearing from him as clearly as you'd like. Just rest assured that you are hearing him. Your spirit is hearing him 24/7, 100% clear, all the time. That's not an issue. The issue is your soul hearing clearly? And when you're under stress, when you're wounded, very often that's the hardest time to hear him. So we have to have that confidence that we are hearing him spiritually. And we only gain that confidence by hearing from him when we're not under stress. So don't wait until you're in a stressful situation to be able to distinguish his voice. Make it a habit and have that confidence that you know how to go to him for healing. So having those crutches that are built around the wounds in your temperament, they're going to accommodate those the kinds of wounds you have. And each one of us has different kinds of wounds because each one of us is unique in our soul. So we can encourage one another, but to get healing for your crutches, for you, for your wounds, you're going to have to go to God. He's the only one who can heal you. But we can encourage one another and talk about it and point out, wait a minute, that's a lie. Is that true about you? You know, I can never do anything right. You know, everything I try, I fail at. Whatever that lie is, we need one another to say, that's not true about you. And we don't have to get all, you know, back into somebody's history. Where did that come from? There may be opportunities for that. But a lot of it is, what is God's truth? God, what are you saying here? So, let's go back. We've been talking about our first kind of temperament and the strengths and weaknesses and the kinds of flesh and the kinds of crutches that the sanguine personality, the sanguine temperament develops. And again, the sanguine wants to be popular. This is the star of the show. They'll do just about anything to be at the center of attention. But they're optimistic, and they're extroverted, and they're a talker. Their greatest strengths, we've talked about, are that they're cheerful, they're fun, they're enthusiastic, and they like people. And it's hard to embarrass a sanguine, because as long as they're getting attention, that's really all they care about. But part of their weaknesses is they are selfish, and they're thoughtless, and they're uncaring. Sanguines, because it's all about them getting attention, they have a hard time seeing how anything that they say or do affects anyone else. So you really have to work with them. If you're married to someone who's a sanguine, you really have to work and make a special effort to help them see how it affects you. And sometimes you just have to help them learn how to accept your point of view by faith, if you will. Honey, you're just going to have to take my word for it. When you don't do this, or when you say this, this, and this about me, when you tell everybody else about the embarrassing things I do at home, I'm really embarrassed by that. And you're just going to have to take my word for it. Just for me, please don't do that. And this is something we all have to learn how to do, is that none of us are going to understand everyone else. And part of being in a relationship is just doing something anyway. You don't have to understand why it's important to them. and you're not going to try to convince them, wait a minute, that you shouldn't feel that way. That's none of your business. When you care for someone and they say, when you do this, it hurts. When you don't do this, it makes me feel like you're not listening. You don't need to understand where they're coming from. And odds are, you won't. And God made you that way. It's not a reflection on you being a bad person or a bad spouse or a bad friend. Just take their word for it and don't do it. Or do it. And say, okay, how do, you know, what is it? Do I need to, you know, can you remind me? You know, an hour before we're supposed to be someplace. And when you do that, I won't get angry. Work it out. That's what we're here for, is to come up with a plan that does not accommodate our wounds. Because that's the thing, is very often we have wounds that we have so accommodated in our life, they've become our belief system. And we think everybody's like us, and that they're not doing it the right way. And we all have our own right way, just to bug us. Or because they aren't, as you know, sanguines have a tendency, well, you're not giving me attention, there's something wrong with you. And we're all like that. You're not doing this or saying that or believing this because of, rather than, no, that's just the way God made them. This is not all, life does not revolve around us, because we all think it does, of course. But we have ingrained those beliefs, those wounds, those crutches into our lives that we have taught others how to treat us. And so that sanguine has taught others that the only thing they're good for is to be admired, to be idolized, that the only thing they're good for is to be the star of the show. And it's not good to accommodate our wounds. And when the only people we want to be around are those who are going to accommodate our crutches, they're not doing us any favors. So this is one of the reasons, you know, God has a sense of humor. And that's proven by he puts opposites together in all different relationships. Pairing people who are the same together in friendships or marriage or whatever, who needs two of the same thing? But by putting opposites together, there is a provoking and a revealing and a not allowing us to settle for living with our crutches. So we see the process that God has for us and know that what he's working on is not who we are. It's our soul, not our spirit. So, yeah, the sanguine is rather known to be rather selfish. Now, all the temperaments are in one way or another, but a couple of the temperaments are, it's more prevalent. Others are overly, want to stick their nose in everybody else's business, is sort of the opposite. The whole point is that that's not the issue. It's not who has the better temperament. We'll talk about the socially acceptable and socially unacceptable, because that's what we are most familiar with. You know, that's a popular thing. That's a good thing. It's a strength. And then we try to overcome our weaknesses. But all we're really trying to do is get a handle on our own crutches. What do we have going on in our life that we are using to protect ourselves and to control others? So we'll pick it up there next weekend as always, you can drop me a line at wecanprepare.org, Diane at wecanprepare.org, and visit the website. You can contact me there as well at wecanprepare.org. It's always good to hear from you. And we will be making some changes. We'll just have to see how long it takes. But there's been some confusion about the website name, and so we'll probably be changing some things about it. But we'll see how long that takes. Thanks a lot for tuning in. It's always good to hear from you. This has been Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio. Have a great day.